But then, do we go back and kill the 12 jurors, the judge, the prosecutor, the witnesses who said, yeah, I'm sure he was the one?
Mm-hmm.
What do we do? We can't, I mean, we can't think. If we thought death, what they say, that World War One was, right?
That's it.
Death was an alternative to keep people from ever trying us again. If I kill this person, nobody gonna try me again. No.
Thank you for all those points that you made.
Some
because
very good points.
100%. Thank you.
Hey, listen, we want to thank everybody for this first half of the show. We will be back in just a little bit. We have NPR. And again, this is the Sunday Forum. And we're talking about the death penalty. Yes or no? And let's talk about some history regarding that or around that right here on the Sunday Forum. This is Walter L. Smith II, along with the members of the Fourth Estate crew, and we will
live
be right
from
back.
NPR News in Washington. I'm Louise Schiavone. The world is waking up to an uneasy calm hours after an unprecedented Iranian launch of destructive weaponry aimed at Israel. Disaster on the ground was averted through Israeli air power, backed up by numerous allies, including the U.S., the U.K., Jordan, and France. Today, Israel is saying its confrontation with Iran is not over yet. NPR's Rob Schmitz has more from Tel Aviv.
Nearly all of the more than 300 ballistic missiles, cruise missiles, and drones launched by Iran at Israel were intercepted, with the U.S. saying it had shot down dozens of drones and missiles. Israel reported minor damage to an airbase from the attack, but no fatalities. Soon after the attack, President Biden held a phone meeting with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, renewing his support for Israel's security. Biden said he'd convene a meeting with G7 leaders to formulate a coordinated diplomatic response to Iran. This was the first time that Iran directly attacked Israel from its own territory, opening a precarious new chapter in the two nations' contentious relationship. Rob Schmitz, NPR News, Tel Aviv.
The UN Security Council meets this afternoon. The House of Representatives is shifting its schedule for the coming week to consider legislation to support Israel. As NPR's Barbara Sprunt reports, this comes in response to these latest developments in the Middle East.
House Majority Leader Steve Scalise said that in light of the attack, the House will change its schedule for the week ahead in order to consider legislation that supports Israel and holds Iran and its proxies accountable. It's not yet clear what type of bill the House may take up to aid Israel. The Senate has already passed a $95 billion measure that dedicated aid for Israel and Ukraine. That package has not been taken up by the House, where blocks of Republican members object to additional funding for Ukraine.
NPR's Barbara Sprunt reporting from Washington. Former President Donald Trump campaigned in Pennsylvania's Lehigh Valley yesterday, just a couple of days before his criminal trial opens in New York City. That's tomorrow. From member station WLVR, Juliana Abraham tells us Trump's court day was clearly on his mind.
Just outside of Allentown, thousands came to hear Trump speak at an outdoor rally. One of Trump's very first talking points was his upcoming criminal trial.
On Monday in New York City, I will be forced to sit fully gagged. I'm not allowed to talk. Can you believe it? They want to take away my constitutional right to talk. I have a crooked judge.
He further alleged that the justice system was being, quote, weaponized against him in order to suppress his presidential run. Last election, Trump lost by just 2% in Pennsylvania, which he falsely attributed to voter fraud. For NPR News, I'm Julian Abraham in Allentown.
This is NPR. With one round to go at the Masters Golf Tournament in Augusta, Georgia, American Scottie Scheffler holds a narrow one-stroke lead. The battle for the famed green jacket is set to conclude today. We get more from Steve Futterman.
Scottie Scheffler is just 18 holes away from solidifying his position as the world's number one golfer. Scheffler leads the Masters after three rounds by one stroke over fellow American Colin Morikawa, who had the second best round of the day, three under par. In third place, two strokes back, is Max Homa. Scheffler has had to divide his attention this week. His wife, Meredith, is in her eighth month of pregnancy in Dallas. Even on the verge of winning, Scheffler says, when the call comes, he's leaving.
Yeah, I definitely have a way to get home pretty quickly. And yes, I'll be available to go home at whenever I need to.
Scheffler is trying to win his second Masters. He won his first green jacket 2 years ago. For NPR News, I'm Steve Futterman in Augusta, Georgia.
Australian police have identified the man who fatally stabbed six and wounded several others at a crowded Sydney shopping mall yesterday. 40-year-old Joel Cauchy was shot and killed by a police officer during the attack. Authorities are saying the suspect suffered from mental health issues. Investigators are not treating the attack as terror-related. Officials are praising the female police officer who stopped the attacker and bystanders who they say ran toward danger to confront the man. I'm Louise Schiavone, NPR News, Washington.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include Capital One, offering their premium travel card Venture X. Capital One, what's in your wallet? Details at CapitalOne.com. And the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation at macfound.org.
If you love classic soul, R&B, Caribbean, gospel, hip-hop, or house music, and if you love podcasting and exclusive interviews, if you love urban culture and urban music, then you'll really love the Urban Cafe channel. You can find it here on HD2 if you have an HD2 radio. Or you can go to WMNF.org and download our mobile app so that you can listen to it all the time.
Checklist. April Fools. Check. April Showers. Check. Earth Day. Check. Earth Month. Improv show. Double check. On Friday, April 26th at 7 p.m. in the live music studio, WMNF and Living Mirror Playback Theater present Listen to Your Mother. Conversations with Mother Earth. Combining storytelling, theater, music, and improv, these monthly shows make for a compelling evening of community sharing and live performances. You can reserve your seat at WMNF.org/events and check it off your list.
Today's vehicles are so much safer and environmentally friendly that it only seems right to offer them a safe and environmentally friendly option when they're ready to retire, like donating it to WMNF. Go to WMNFcar.org for details.
Now you don't have to wait till 9 a.m. to hear Democracy Now! You can hear it every morning at 8 a.m. on our HD3 channel, The Source. You can hear it online at WMNF.org/listen. That's Democracy Now!, weekday mornings at 8 a.m. on WMNF's The Source and 9 a.m. on our main channel. And it's replayed on The Source at 5 p.m. every weekday afternoon.
Right now, you are tuned to the Sunday Forum here on WMNF Radio 88.5 FM with your host, Walter L. Smith II, and Annie Miles, talking about the death penalty and some other issues. So keep it tuned. 813-239-9663 is the number to call. 813-239-9663 is the number to call. And you can also write DJ at WMNF.org.
the sounds of the late, great Miss Betty Carter, one of the greatest songstresses of the 20th century. We can actually say the 20th century now, we're in the 21st century. Let me tell you, Betty Carter was featured on The Cosby Show, and it was a great, great jazz artist and vocalist, known for singing with the likes of Joe Williams, also a great vocalist, Al Jarreau, and many, many more. Betty Carter, ladies and gentlemen, jazz legend. All right, we are back here on the Sunday Forum. This is your host, Walter L. Smith II, along with the members of the Fourth Estate crew, and we're going to go straight back to the phones. Let me tell you, you did something.
Got a conversation going. Got need to
be had.
Oh, boy. Call you over there.
Let's hear it.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I wanted to say, first of all, since you mentioned Betty Carter, one of my favorite artists of all time, her live recordings are incredible.
Absolutely.
What I wanted to say before you played that Betty Carter was that I'm calling from Atlanta, and I've enjoyed this program since 2010 when I first came to the Tampa Bay area to do some work as a consultant, and I have grown as a man and as a citizen from listening to this program, making it part of my Sunday morning every week. And
wow,
that's nice.
Wow, thank
you,
brother.
I have so much respect for all of you, all your previous hosts, Brother Mobili. I bow to you, brother. So I wanted to say that first of all. So now, let me. I want to posit something or put forth something that hopefully won't make the show controversial.
But controversy is good.
In all of your discussion around this issue, I won't review all the various comments that you all have made, but it seems as though we're dancing around the idea that, generally speaking, white people can't be trusted. Now, that argument is most certainly can be made looking historically. That white people, generally speaking, could not be trusted to judge people fairly on juries and a whole lot of other things. But it sounds as though that still may be the case, that generally speaking, white people cannot be trusted.
Well, so they're easily prejudiced for some, but go ahead.
So I'm asking a question. Is that true? Is that what we're saying? Or is that still true? And if so, what do we do with that? And so I kind of wanted to toss that out there for a little discussion or consideration. I don't know.
Caller, let me just say thank you for the question. I think that it would be a mistake to say to label all white people
exactly
in that way. I don't think that's correct. It's easy to believe. It's very easy to believe, given our history, but that would not be
a factual
correct
statement.
And that would not be a factual statement. We all are human beings, and we have to remember that although we are different, we are human beings.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I put that part out there, right?
But now go ahead, get to that part.
Let me drop the boot, the other boot. Okay. It is incumbent upon us to make certain that we remain watchful, vigilant, and armed with the information that comes from the history.
Very well put.
Mm-hmm. Of what has been done to us. And the history of the legalities surrounding the death penalty and the various types of para...
unequalized justice.
Para-judicial means, a.k.a. lynchings, means by which, you know, what they call justice has been done. And it's because of the power structures that we've seen the world over, the colonial power structures that we've seen the world over, including right here in our own country. And for some reason, we seem to omit our country from that, from that line of understanding
and accountability.
and the reality of it is that we are in that on that center stage now, because we as activists and as broadcast journalists and so forth have put these agencies, these agents, right?
Mm-hmm.
Provocateurs, as our dear friend Mabili would say, to put them on front stage. The last thing on earth, I bring you to an issue that happened in the early, about 1930s. In the 1930s, you know, NAACP, I always talk about this quite often, but I'm going to give you a perspective about this particular thing, and that is in the NAACP, as Madam President Yvette.
All letters matter.
Thank you, Madam President. One of the things that you have to remember about that period was that as the NAACP was forming and building and getting traction in this country, it went to the legislative bodies for support in anti-lynching bills. And, you know, the anti-lynching bill is nothing new. It's very old.
Too old. Should have been passed.
Exactly. And Mississippi was the last one to pass it. Anyway, the point being, they went to Franklin Roosevelt, and they were talking about the issue of human rights. And Roosevelt went to his people and said, well, you know, we're looking at South Africa, and we're looking at Germany and what's happening there, too. And we can't allow y'all to go out there and put us on the same stage as these guys with the type of things that are happening. Now, we know, guys, that this isn't the Thurgood. now, Thurgood, we know that these things are happening, but we cannot allow this country to be put on the same stage as the world stage as Germany and South Africa. Well, they said, well, what would you have us do, Mr. President? He said, well, you know, I'll lose support if I let you go out there with this, but let me go back to my boys and let's come up with a new deal. Well, what they came up with was, we're going to go with civil rights as opposed to human rights.
Hmm.
The death penalty is an issue that falls under the label of human rights, because you're taking a life.
Life, exactly.
Okay. And so no one knows that. No one knows that better than we do when it comes down to the historical points. Maybe the Native Americans.
They
wiped them out, man.
Yeah.
And if you, anyway, I digress. Point being, brother, it is, we cannot allow ourselves to fall under the trap of the shiny coin.
And thinking that this is not an issue, because it is an issue.
It's not something that's going away easily.
Exactly. Thanks. So thank you very much, caller, for that. We appreciate it. We got another call that's been waiting. Call on the air. Caller, you on the air.
Hi, good morning. It's Simon from Lakeland. How you doing?
Good morning, Simon. How are you doing?
Good, good. A couple issues I want to talk about. The comment that the gentleman just made, I would think that he was referencing the structural aspect or institutions of power, and maybe he felt that the white man couldn't be trusted because of the power issue. But to say that on a personal note that white people can't be trusted is quite fallacious in the statement. The issue that I wanted to discuss is the Memphis police officers, and you're talking about, I understand the story du jour of black issues versus white issues versus power, but I think you have to interject also self-criticism. The Memphis police officers, the five Memphis police officers that were all black, that the entire world saw, beat that poor man to death in Memphis, picked him up, and beat him again, picked him up and beat him again and again and again and again. First question would be, would have five black female police officers done that, or any female police officers done that? I think that's an intriguing question. The other question I have is, do you feel that the O.J. Simpson verdict is a redemption of justice for the black community?
I'm going to wait till you finish, Simon, and I'm going to respond to you. So please continue. Go ahead. Are you done? Okay.
Yeah.
So let me be clear. I agree with you 100% on in regards to what happened in Memphis, because it was terrible. It was disgusting. Okay, disgusting. And I also want to clarify, the death penalty to me, even though we know there's inequality when it comes to how it's judged for white and blacks, for me personally, it has no color. I just think it's wrong, period. But it is factual that it is, it's not equality when it comes to whites and blacks. So let's be clear on that, okay? Now, speaking of the police officers, let me explain something to you, okay? I don't care how you look at it. I don't care how you frame it. I don't care if it's a male police officer, white police officer, male, female, black. It doesn't matter to me. Any police officer, anybody that is in power and they intentionally set out to harm another person, okay, when they should be held to a higher part of law, is wrong, flat out, period. So that's my feelings on that, period. There's nothing else that needs to be said. So it doesn't matter if it's a female, it doesn't matter if it's a male, it doesn't matter the color of that officer. It's the fact that your job is to protect life, not take life. Your job is to protect the community. That is what we're paying you to do. Not to take it upon yourself to become judge and jury. I don't care of your race. I don't care of your color. I don't care of your gender. That is your job, point blank, period. You should not see color if you're going to wear that uniform and be in power. You should not see color. You should not see gender. You should see right and wrong and let it go through the court system where it's supposed to be, not have it out on the streets. And this is why individuals such as myself that of color don't trust police officers to a certain degree. This is why that statement was made is white people can or cannot be trusted. As Walter stated, not all white people fit in that category. However, history has shown us it has been the majority of Caucasians, okay, that has judged non-Caucasians, all right? So that is the point that is being made here today. But thank you so much, Simon, for calling, and we appreciate it. Next caller.
Okay.
Go ahead, caller. High five. Caller, you in the air.
Hey, how you doing?
All right, doing?
Fine. I just wanted to get an understanding from last week that I was talking about the politicians, and definitely now about your my critique was on the politicians and what they were doing, and not about what this show has been doing over the years. And I think I spoke with Brother Walter about that and stuff. But I look at things in a quite right now, this whole area of eugenics and this whole area of how it relates to Nazism and how it derives, and Nazism, how it derives from Great Jim Crow, and the relationship to why our current nominee in the Republican Party thinking is along those lines, because his people were in direct contact with folks who made the Nuremberg laws. People want to believe that they're all connected, all this stuff, connected and those sort of things. So, and in the bigger picture, I was watching this thing about, you know, when it came time to Hitler, had gone to the Reichstag and made a statement about what he was going to do with the Jews. And he came out and he talked about, well, we're going to deny them access to education, we're going to do all this stuff. And it was not, none of that was reported in the media and at all. And that's important, because when that was in the point, it allowed him to just simply block what was going on here. And so when you have a situation where when we look at this, how we tie this into this conversation, when you look at DEI, when you talk about DEI, think about it as if you look at it, deny educational intelligence. In other words, you deny, and what we've been talking about, when you deny somebody their access to their history, to not only their history, but to mathematics, to science, and totally subjugate a population, you know, then you can control that population, and then you can create your own reality and stuff. One of the things that Vervoer said, we will give the Bantu just enough education to make him work in his community, but as far as we're concerned, he's subservient our community. Well, Donald Trump is, you see where he adopted it. He grabbed that from a thing of Christian nationalism that came from Afrikaans, and Christian nationalism was the foundation of Afrikaans thinking, thinking under apartheid. And look where it's ended up now. You know, look at how you draw these two parallels to what's happening. I call them unholy parallels in my article, between what's happening and now, and what we've now, we've accepted it. We've accepted that you can go in and deny women access to health care, to talk about getting rid of birth control pills. We accepted the fact that our doctors, you know, we've got 2,000 black doctors being in prison as we speak. We accepted that, and people say, well, I didn't know about that, you know, or we accepted that they can come in and raid a pharmacy like mine and not charge me anything but take all my equipment and then want to come in and take my license. I got a meeting this Thursday on that. But anyways, the point is that this is what's happening, right? We have to become, understand what path we're headed down here, and I just think it's almost too late. I mean, we're in a peril that just strikingly similar to what's happening with what happened in Germany and the rest of Western Europe. I mean, the Europe that adopted these policies. You know, the same enemy. This time it's the communists. And that's what Hitler had.
I think, Doc, one of the things that we want to be cognizant of is the fact that these are, I think, the perfect example, and I commend you for this, is the control factor, right? When we talk about the issue of control, and controlling society. You look at what happened with Leopold and Leopoldville in the Congo region, right? Look at what happened in South Africa under Vervoort and the Parliament of South Africa. South Africa, as they call it. The Union. When we talk about those things, there's a control factor. When we talk about what happened here, it's a control factor. You're too afraid to say, it's like the hope is and the intention is to shut us up.
Right, it's more of a white fear factor.
Exactly.
These things, historically, that Doc was talking about has happened at a time when there was challenges. There was a real challenge to white power. Mm-hmm. And as a response, they responded with these type of laws, black code type laws that says we're not gonna abide any challenge to white power.
Right.
And we see that happen time and time again, and they find different mechanisms for doing so. And I see it happening, as he points out, that, you know, is happening under this governor. You know, we're seeing it in all of his attempts at diminishing the power of local rule if it doesn't agree with him.
Well, yeah.
Absolutely.
Remember, we spoke about the omnibus bill, right? Mm-hmm. So even though this is a bit off, it's not really off topic, the reality of it is it's a control mechanism, right? It's a control mechanism. You think about what's happened to shut us up regarding, because we're getting a little too powerful. We're getting to speak out a little too much. And in order to make sure they shut us up, what they do is they make laws where they can you can make it felonious to stand a certain number of feet during a protest outside of wherever it is, right?
Outside of a government building?
Yeah, outside a government building or whatever it might be. The point is that, you know, it's to shut you up. It's the fear factor. Again, when we talk about the omnibus bill, right, the use of an omnibus bill is to stick in smaller laws underneath the radar. Mm-hmm. Is to put those laws under the radar.
You hold your nose and vote for it.
Yeah. It's a very dastardly bill. But it is a strategy that, truthfully, I am only very recently becoming aware of in terms of how it's being used. I go back and I study it, and it's been used many, many times before.
And that's how they get away with it, because we don't know. We're uninformed.
We don't know anything about
but
it.
It's an old strategy. We started it in the 1994 crime bill.
Right, exactly. Now watch this. The same way that is implemented, as Doc was saying, is like the Third Reich was able to go in roughshod, just run over everybody, executing mobs, shooting them in the middle of the street. South Africa, I actually witnessed my first time in South Africa, in the Republic of South Africa at 16, I witnessed a man about to be executed in the street on Jan Smuts. Jan Smuts is the main road going through downtown Joburg. And it was interesting. It was terrifying.
I'm about to say, it's terrifying to me.
What in the hell? This guy's about to shoot him in the middle of the street.
Like this, the Wild Wild West.
Yeah. And it was commonplace. These white men felt that they could do that.
It's a challenge to society because they saw it as their power being diminished after apartheid, after the fight against apartheid. But, you know, Doc talks about the raids of doctors. But what is behind the anti-abortion efforts and all of these laws that the right wing is trying to come up with? You know, we have to stop looking at that as some, otherworldly event, because this is real world. How do they plan on enforcing it by doing what? Not just arresting women, but arresting
doctors.
Yeah. You have to put a fear in the hearts of doctors in order for any of this to work. And, you know, the Supreme Court has already said in Florida, women's privacy rights that is enshrined in the Constitution doesn't matter when it comes to white power. And the fact that they want to outlaw something that has been protected, nationally. Now they are reaching, they're grasping at straws as to how to politically handle it in order to preserve white power in the next election, because they have really raised the ruckus of white suburban women in the process. They don't care that black women will be, you know, they will be criminalized in the process, but they do care whether or not white women have their babies.
Right.
You know, even though if you're well off, you could travel into other states, even though they're trying to outlaw all of that. The fact of the matter is the only way to enforce it is to throw doctors in jail.
Yeah,
and that was the fear part that they did, because right now doctors are afraid to perform anything that has to do with an abortion, even if the fetus could be dead inside the woman. They still, you have to have the court order and all this kind of nonsense that the woman has to wait, and the doctor's afraid because they will be prosecuted if they do anything.
But that's a common thread in all of these fascist laws. You look at the librarians. Yeah. They are afraid to even put a simple book on the shelf nowadays because they are afraid of how the law is going to come down on them. You know, teachers, everybody's living in fear of right-wing fascism right now, and we don't even know it.
Of our government. It's so
when
sad.
The power should be with us.
Exactly.
They should be fearful of us.
Yeah, that's okay.
Right. I'm off the soapbox.
No, that was right, though. The power should be to the people, okay? Power to the people.
Let me ask you a question. What we got? What we got on the music box?
What we got another call before we hit the music?
No, I know. What we got on the
Erykah
music
Badu
box?
Erykah Badu.
They're clever.
All right, call you on the air.
Hey, good morning, Walter.
Good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing great. This is Brother Jarvis. I wanted to...
Hey.
How you doing, sir?
My man from Georgia, from South Georgia. What's going on,
that's
man?
That's right, South Georgia. Right. Let me tell you something. I wanted to weigh in on that death penalty thing, and because, you know, it's so racist, like Ms. Miles said, that you can't use it because you already know that if you're skin is black or brown, you ain't going to get no justice when it comes to the death penalty. And the other part of that is that when they get to you, you're going to stay in jail so long, about 20 years from all the peers, you already know paid your time. When they get finally get ready to execute you, you know, you've been in that 20 years. So you can punish twice. Stay in jail 20 years before they get to you with the exhort of all your peers, and then they finally execute you. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So it's injustice all the way around the death penalty. But on the note of candidates and this political season, I want to let you know that I'm working with the 509 committee with Commissioner Myers, and we'll be doing a candidates forum at the New Skills Center Thursday, June the 27th. Doors open at 5, showtime at 6, but we need the community to come out and talk to these candidates. I'll be moderating along with Sister Shakira, and we're going to make sure it's going to be timely, it's going to be done appropriately, but we need to ask local, all politics is local, ask the local candidates, judicial races, county commission races, all the constitutional offices, from the sheriff to the tax collector to the property appraiser, everybody's up for re-election. But we need the community to come out and hear the candidates. Ask them, get their cell phone number. They say they're running this, they're going to do all this, get their number, so if they win, you can call and say, you said this at the Skills Center in 2024, and you didn't do this. So, you know, accountability. You can't hold nobody, can't hold the politicians accountable unless you come out and ask them questions to hold them accountable. So we'll be doing it at the candidate forum Thursday, June the 27th at the New Skills Center on 22nd Street. Okay, so we want the community to come out. If anybody got any questions or concerns, they can also hit me up at 813-787-6652. Thank you, Walter. You're doing a great job.
Amen.
And your co-host, for the sake of state, thank y'all for every sacrifice. Y'all don't get paid to do this.
That's
every
right.
Every week to bring
thank you,
this information to the people. We thank you for that.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Jarvis. Thank you so much. You know, let's go to the, is that another call there, or is that you, Mobili?
That's me.
Okay, that's Mobili.
All right.
So let's get clever.
Erica, you can never go wrong with Erica.
Erica. Okay.
Three quarters and six dimes.
Three quarters and six dimes.
Yes. Yes.
No, but I'm clever.
7. That's the sound of Roy Ayers in the background there. Right. And Clever. All right. The great Roy Ayers, my man. In my mind, the greatest jazz musician of all time. That's my man. Listen, thank you for joining us here on the Sunday Forum. That's the sounds of Erykah Badu. If you just joined us, this is Walter L. Smith II, along with the members of the Fourth Estate. And we're jamming right now. As we're talking about, we spoke about the death penalty. We talk about controls. Mm-hmm. Death has been a means of controlling our community. Statement. I'm putting it out there. Mm-hmm. Death has been a way, a means by which white society has tried to control our community.
Yeah.
Now.
Well, you know, Ta-Nehisi Coates, the author, the great black male author, has made that very point that the black body has always been under threat in America.
Yes. And so, and that's whether you're talking about sexually, that's whether you're talking about mortality.
Mm-hmm. Mentally, too.
And when you talk about mentally.
Yeah.
There's always an experiment being done with us, right? Or there is some sort of, gosh, what could I say? An experiment, social engineering, right?
Mm-hmm.
We have been the subject of social engineering for a long time, right? And so...
Ooh, as soon as you said that, the phone's lit.
Right. They didn't like that. Social engineering.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to consider, you know, they consider us to be, what, lab rats or lab monkeys, right? Am I even not? I'm, you know, and you know, if I was white, well, I'd be in some deep trouble for saying that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the truth.
You wouldn't even be held accountable. They'd just listen and agree with you, to be honest.
Yeah, they would. But rest assured, the NAACP would be down my back on that one.
That's right.
But no, really. These are jokes, guys. But no, really, the truth of the matter is that this is how we are seen. This is how we're treated. It has not changed. I submit to you that it has not changed. We have these calls on the line right now. I want to hear from you, 813-239-9663, because this is a very real thing. Mm-hmm. As we talk about this issue, and we talk about, you know, quite often, as I said before, I usually talk about some environmental issue, right? Think about this for a minute. Where these illnesses coming from? Where the illnesses coming from? The food.
Water.
The water. What we're breathing, mm-hmm. because of what's being put into the air, what our children play in, they bathe in, we bathe in it. Listen, and the worst of it comes to us. And I'm reminded of a situation where a lady came out, this white lady in like 1981, maybe 79, comes out in New York, and she is explaining to everybody, she's revealing that the worst milk in New York was given to the public schools in the black community. Redlining, the worst land, the black community. If death is the end result, it doesn't matter. You get what I'm saying? If death is the end result, everything I mentioned so far ends one way or another in what?
I'm going to comment on it after we listen to the caller.
In death.
I like that. Yeah. I'm going to comment on that.
Let's call you on the air.
Good morning, peace and family.
Queen Mother, how are you?
Good morning.
I'm doing excellent, and thank you all for everything that you bring to the table, to the community, without any apology. So, yeah.
Before you begin, let me just say this right now. Thank you very much for being a part of our upcoming commercial.
Brother, you don't ever have to thank me. That is our responsibility to our people to continue to live. That's all of our responsibility.
Right. Yes,
now,
thank you.
Whether people take on their assignment or not, that's their business.
Come on.
All right.
I just want to know, like you said, the end date. My children, my family, and community will be able to say, well done. So the social engineering is so real, and it affects every part of our lives. We know that. If we're living in housing, no, if we're living in development, that banks, politicians, political leaders would not have brought one solid dollar to uplift the quality of life for Black people that was living in College Hill, that was living in Ponce de Leon, Riverview Terrace, North Boulevard Homes, Rovers Park. But now all of this is becoming what? Prime development property for the majority of the white community. Those that have wealth that can live in those once blighted areas. And we just supposed to say, look how wonderful redevelopment happens. Yes, in the absence of Black families. So we see that happen every day. And it is through political leadership. And I'm always clear. I know what I'm looking at. I'm looking at that which is in front of me that represents a political party that Black people has been the most loyal to here in the city of Tampa. And if we don't grab the wheel, we have an opportunity right now. Don't talk about 100 years from now. Right now, this Thursday, the council will be coming back with how that resolution committee will look like. Resolution 568 that laid out all of the disparities, barriers that the city and the council recognize. I'm saying that the people that has been most impacted got to have a seat at the table, along with those honest professionals that want to help us turn the wheel. That's what I'm talking about. And as it also, real quick, so that meeting is going to be Thursday at 9 a.m. at City Hall. And secondly, this issue about the death penalty, all my lens is always on Black people. Because I know in Hillsborough County, Black children, Black men, and now Black women just got 30 years for sunglasses being stolen out of International Mall. People run their political campaign adjudicating juveniles, and you hear it now before the thing could even get to a court date. Is all these charges is almost premeditated murder. You know, the most severest penalty that can be given out.
Mm-hmm.
But Walter, you remember Barry Cohn, right?
Absolutely.
Barry Cohn was one of these attorneys that if he walked through the courthouse, the courtroom, or just the main building, it'll open up like he was Moses. And in 2015, Barry Cohn wrote a letter to the chief judge, and I'm going to share it with you too, that said that Black folks, Black men in particular, could not receive justice in the courtroom. Why? Because the ongoing lying, the manipulation that was occurring from the attorneys and the judges and the prosecutors. That Black folks had lost the ability to trust the system. Now, this is Barry Cohn speaking in the interest of the injustice that Black people are receiving here in the city of Tampa. So people are aware of it, but let me tell you, if I'm in a car with somebody and they get ready to go off the damn hill, I'm going to try to grab the steering wheel and try to pull it back.
That's
our responsibility.
That's right.
Our children and the next generation to see what is the injustice that's going on. It is through your work, Walter. It is through Yvette Lewis' work. It is through the members of the Fourth Estate. It is through the members of this community that says they want to be on the right side of history. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. I love everything you brothers and sisters, you sisters do every Sunday. Just keep on pushing.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Clean mother, clean mother. Let me tell you.
I saw them about that young lady that she was speaking of that got 30 years for the glasses.
Come on, man. That, you know.
Well, they chalked it up to her. I think she had been arrested like 27 times or whatever, but 30 years for sunglasses is crazy.
Yeah, and I mean, that's what the right-wing law and order campaigns are always about. You know, they notice they always tack to that. That's what makes white power legendary, is the fact that they can pass these law and order fascist laws that are going to come down on poor and people of color.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I know DeSantis, he just signed like a couple of bills, and that's kind of in reference to that.
Right. The response is to Capitol to say all of these retail crimes are out of hand. Yeah. Let's do something extra. Mm-hmm. Let's do an extra law. Yeah. That's going to make me, the governor, legendary in responding to it.
Mm-hmm.
And really not resolve any problems. And you're just really responding to capital. I mean, here are people, you know, it's wrong to steal. Everybody knows that. But the fact of the matter is, you didn't need any extra laws. You know what I'm saying?
No.
And this is what they constantly spend their campaigns doing, because they can't solve any other problems. And I understand that in the state of Florida, they're going to start this sort of consolidation of the court system. Now you got to try. If that happens, you're going to have to travel to go to your court date, which means the chances of a black person missing their court date and going to jail is going to increase.
An immediate warrant for the arrest will be put out.
Right.
Yeah.
Unbelievable, man.
Yep.
It's going to make it so that they fill up these jails.
Again, come in. They had an issue before.
That's the cash cow. Yeah. That's the cash cow.
Then you started having them build independent jails that they was making money for each person they incarcerated.
It's a racket. This is why it's going to private prisons. I mean,
look at the prisons.
I study the stock market. I get up every Monday through Friday and study the stock market, and I'm watching them put their money where their real hearts are.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in those private prisons. Yeah. And it's in things like that. Yeah.
Unbelievable, man.
And the state of Florida is bad for it. These people can lobby the legislature, this right-wing legislature and this fascist governor, to get what they want. And that is fill up these jails, fill them up with people of color, fill them up with these people who refuse to follow the rules on abortion. Mm-hmm. Let's fill them up with people who won't pay child support. Let's fill them up with people who are coming into this country illegally. Let's just fill up the jails and make our money.
Let me tell you something. I was watching him sign one of the bills, and I said to myself, I said, boy, this man must think he got him a powerful pen. Because, you know, every time he signed one, then they pass off the pens and all that. He has been signing his behind off this year.
Yeah, I'm telling you, just a bunch of pointless laws.
I mean, he's got us back to the books that we can and cannot read. All kinds of things. I don't think you guys are paying attention to what this man is doing.
Right, and the courts are saying a lot of these laws are unconstitutional, but they're just moving on forward.
It just comes to them in the middle of the night. Yep, we're going to pass this law right here.
It's all a racket. It's just a big racket. Yeah, and it is in the middle of the night. Or in the bathroom. They're trying to find a way to plot to take it back.
That man sit on the toilet.
That's what happened to all those classified documents at Mar-a-Lago.
Trying to flesh half of
them. Did you see that, man? Have y'all seen the pictures of that thing?
Yes.
Yo, so why are we here in trial here? Why are we in trial?
Yeah.
Exactly. You know,
because this white man has learned how to slow down anything that speaks to getting
the
justice.
The evidence is right there.
Yeah.
And he said he didn't want to give it up. He wasn't going to give it up. And he ain't going to give it up. Yeah, and it's sitting right there in his bathroom.
I got a right to have it. You know, all of this. He just think he's the most powerful man on the planet.
Absolutely.
Unbelievable. That man on the bidet trying to get a dog on.
We got one caller left. That's it. We only have 4 minutes, guys.
Let's go.
Get to your point, caller. Good. Thank you for calling. Caller, you're on the air.
Hey.
Hello. Hey, yeah. Yes.
Okay. So, you know, y'all know that DeSantis shouldn't even be in office right now because he got his handpicked people on the legislature to change the law.
That's right.
Yes,
he was supposed to have to resign when he went running for president all over the country.
Yeah, but he knew that was going to be a failure as long as 45 was still in the running. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you're right.
Yeah, but he wasn't here for like a year and a half, which was actually good for us because he wasn't bothering anybody. Also, you know, he talk about overreach. He's telling the cities that they can't have police review committees.
Yeah, we talked about that.
Right? We were talking about that a little earlier. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, he just signed the other day real quietly. He didn't announce that. He signed it and then put it out with a bunch of other stuff like late at night on Friday night.
That's how he spent the middle of the night.
Yeah, and that's what he does, right? Yeah. And then what was the other thing he just signed? Oh, that he doesn't want cities to be able to tell people who work out in the heat how often they can have breaks.
Right, no mandate for that to protect workers in the heat and getting
and
give them shelter.
Did anybody ask him to pass a 6-week abortion ban?
No.
Six weeks.
Right?
Absolutely absurd.
And you know what they just did with the Supreme Court, well, with the thing where they said that it can go on the ballot, right? The abortion.
The national ban.
It's going to be on November's ballot.
But what they also said is they said that a right that Floridians had passed back in the 80s or something, your right to privacy, they said that doesn't apply to abortion.
It's crazy.
What's more private than you, a woman's decision whether or not she has a baby?
Right,
so
it's her body.
Privacy in Florida.
Right.
Right?
That's it.
I don't know.
That's what it sounds like. Thank you.
I love you guys.
Thank you, guys. Thank you all.
We appreciate you. Oh, boy. Yeah. All right.
93.2. Infinity.
Right. Listen, we cannot take any more calls because I apologize. Mm-hmm. We only have 2 minutes left and we've got to wrap up the show.
Yeah.
Annie, Mobili, first of all, Annie, that was excellent. That was excellent. Mobili.
Okay. No excellence, though.
Okay. You know, the ones and the twos will not be the same if you weren't sitting over there doing it.
I love music.
Indeed.
We need to. It's always a collaboration effort.
Yes, it is. Now, listen, I want to thank y'all for joining us today for the Sunday Forum. And join us next week for another edition of the Sunday Forum. You know, this issue of control, the issue of the death penalty, the issue of death, issue of social engineering in our community is a long-standing issue, a long-standing thing that we have got to face, and we got to keep facing it.
Along with the policing and the non-policing in our community.
Absolutely. And over-policing.
And over-policing, exactly.
Exactly. So listen, folks, keep on keeping on. We're going to get there. We'll get there. And as always, this is Walter L. Smith II, along with members of the Fourth Estate, saying, from my voice to the radio waves, from hearts and minds of you, other people, we love you. And there's nothing you can do about it here on the Sunday Forum.
Blessings and prosperity to you and your families. Let's go.
Post Martin Hootenanny is coming your way next here on WMNF Tampa.